Bibles to the book of Psalms. It should almost fall open to this particular psalm. It's Psalm 23. I know it's been a favorite of many down through the years, and sometimes it's good to take a second look, maybe a third look, a deeper look into the psalm. Verses that we have become oh so familiar to, but maybe fail to really grasp the depth of what the psalmist is trying to portray to us. And so that's why we're taking a little bit longer look. Often when a sermon is preached on Psalm 23, it covers the entire psalm. Well, when that happens, you're certainly limited in your scope as to how deep you can go into the psalm. And so we did begin our study of that last week, and we got into some details there that I trust have been helpful to you. We want to carry on there, though, and the title of my message this morning is A Restoration Worth Experiencing. Have you ever been involved in a restoration project of some kind, maybe in your home, or maybe you've been involved in someone else's home, or maybe it's been a bigger project than that? Well, it usually ends up being more complex than originally planned, especially if it's an older house. So many things that when you get into that older house and you start to do repairs on it, the price tends to go up, doesn't it? It costs much more money than maybe originally planned, and so you have to work a little harder in getting all the funds in necessary to pay the bills regarding it. But usually the finished product is really worth it all. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about a restoration project that has spiritual overtones that are attached to it. It's not about restoring a thing. It's about restoring a person. There are times in each of our lives when we have this kind of need. Getting the right kind of help, though, is so vital if the end result is going to be a positive one in that person's life. Well, Psalm 23 wonderfully addresses for us this issue of restoration when the psalmist says in verse 3, "He restoreth my soul." You see, from a personal perspective, David shares with us the key he found in being restored. As a result of his experience, he highly recommends the same course of action be taken by us. It's simply to allow the Lord the right to get involved in restoring us whenever that may occur in our lives and whenever that may be needed for us as an individual. I want us to look at another psalm that will help us to understand what David is writing here in Psalm 23. And it's found in Psalm 42 and verse 5. Let's see how the sons of Korah express the cry of their hearts during a very low period of time in their lives. And we can see how it applies here in Psalm 23 as well. Here's what it says in 42:5. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." You see, from that verse, I want to extract two key words that actually, I believe, address the whole problem that David was facing here in Psalm 23, although he doesn't use these very words. I think the application is there. And why there is a need from time to time for each one of us to be restored. And here are the key words in 42:5. Cast down. Cast down. But here's what I find very puzzling when I initially read Psalm 23, verse 3. It talks about restoring our soul. In the first couple of verses in Psalm 23, David expresses how having the Lord as his shepherd, He discovered that his every need was met. He first tells us how the Lord made him lie down in green pastures. Sheep are lying down. They're, as I mentioned last week, they're not eating. They're resting. And rest is very important for both us and for sheep. If we don't get adequate rest, we'll not be able to function the way we should in life. If we get caught up with too many things, like burning the candle at both ends, eventually, for our own benefit, you know what the Lord will do? We don't take the time to rest. He will make us lie down and rest. It may not be the way we want it to be, but it's for our good. We may not appreciate the needed rest because there's so much that's on our plate, but eventually we'll see the wisdom in what the Good Shepherd has done. Also, sheep need plenty of refreshing, cool water. And aware of that, the Good Shepherd leads his sheep to such streams. In the same way, David found his Good Shepherd led him to streams where his spiritual thirst could be quenched. Another time, we need that too, don't we? We need our spiritual thirst quenched. We need such encounters with God, which often occur during maybe devotional time or coming to a service like this and hearing a message, and we digest it and we take it home and it ministers to our need during the week. That refreshing in the presence of the Lord enables us to have the energy, you see, to go on and face the issues of life that may come our way that week. So that raises a question. Why in the world would a sheep that has been so well cared for need to be restored at times? The answer to that question, I believe, comes from understanding what it means for sheep to be cast down, because that's what happens when they're in that condition. It actually refers to sheep that has unfortunately gone, as you see in this picture, belly up. That's what's happened to them. Sheep like us like to lie down comfortably. And like us, an uneven hard bed is not very pleasant. So what they will often do is search for an area that is softer, soil of grass that has maybe a slight depression in it to make what you would call a better mattress. And there they lie down on their side. But you see, what happens sometimes is that the sheep, in stretching itself out, can accidentally roll over onto its back with its legs straight up in the air. Now, a healthy and lean sheep in most circumstances will be able to wiggle and kick until it works itself into a position where it can roll over on its side again and get back up. But there are circumstances in which the sheep gets stuck on its back with its legs flailing in the air, totally unable to right itself. If that happens, then the sheep is in the position of being cast down and needs some help to be restored. When this happens, it is a very dangerous situation for the sheep to be in. Do you know that? Very dangerous. You say, why is that so? Well, for several reasons. If the weather was really hot and dry, and that sheep stayed in that condition, it would just be a matter of hours before they would die. They couldn't continue to live. In cool, rainy weather, they might survive for a day or two, but eventually they would succumb to their problem. It is also vulnerable to any predator which would like to rip open the neck of the sheep when it's in that condition. He's helpless. It's also vulnerable to abdominal gases that build up and cannot escape because the physical movements on which its digestive system depends cannot happen on its back. And so what happens is this. The sheep will become life-threateningly bloated. That's what will happen if they remain on their back. The sheep is also vulnerable because circulation to its hindquarters and hind legs depends on freedom of movement in a standing position. Without blood flow, strength will quickly be lost for the sheep. It's also vulnerable to vultures and buzzards, who, when they see a sheep on its back, you know what they'll do? They'll immediately start circling around, because they know it's only a matter of time. If the weather is hot, it will only be a matter of hours before they can get their prey. So a good shepherd will be watchful for the cast down sheep. He will watch the sky for vultures. He will regularly count his sheep, and if one is missing because it has become cast down, he will go throughout his pastures to try and find that sheep. If the sheep is bleeding and calling out for help, the shepherd will certainly find it and will give appropriate assistance. He will get that sheep right side up again, and with it standing between his legs, he will balance it until blood flow has been restored and strength is regained for that sheep. And if the sheep falls again, shepherd doesn't give up on the sheep. He goes and he will help that sheep back up again and again and again. That's like a good shepherd, isn't it? Let's consider how we can apply this to our lives. Like sheep, there is a tendency to, at times, wander away from the shepherd. And in the process, we're apt to get further and further away from him. The problem is that sometimes we stop to rest in a place that is off the path that the shepherd has prepared for us, and then we slip and fall and we end up on our backs and unable to right ourselves, and we need the help of the shepherd. Even a healthy lean sheep can find itself in this predicament of being cast down. What circumstances would cause a healthy sheep to get into this kind of topsy-turvy situation that might need restoration? Well, here's some reasons. You know, some sheep are lazy. Some sheep are lazy. They love to spend too much time laying down in the most comfortable of places, and as such, don't care to develop the strength they need to get through those tough situations that may occur in life. Sound familiar? Yeah? Sheep are just like us, aren't they? There are times when we can become spiritually lazy. That happens. As long as things are going well, there's no problem. But one does not have to journey long through the Christian life to discover that living out the Christian life is not an easy path to follow. There are bills to pay. There are schedules to fulfill. There are businesses that need to grow. There's the ongoing struggle with relationships. There's a need to manage our families. Not only do we have to struggle with those things that the rest of the world has to struggle with, but we have to struggle against sin and the devil and the temptations that may come our way. Here's where the problem lies. It is in the area of practicing Christian disciplines that often many Christians fall down. If we do not learn proper spiritual disciplines, the problems of life can set us on our back in a way that we're unable to right ourselves. What are some of those spiritual disciplines? Well, there's the discipline of seeking a close relationship with God. We need to desire that with all of our hearts. There's the discipline of learning to have complete dependence and trust in God. Not partially, all the way. In other words, cultivating a dependency on God. There's the discipline of the soldier where we are able to stand our ground against Satan's attacks. Because why? We put on the whole armor of God and we see the different pieces there that we need to put on it. If one piece is missing, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. There's the discipline of desiring to experience the fruit of the Spirit within our lives. If we're not on a journey of discipline, we will discover when times get tough, we're not tough enough to face the challenges that may lie before us. The wonderful comfort of this psalm is that as we practice spiritual discipline, we can be assured that the Good Shepherd also desires to be involved and will be there when we need Him, and when we call upon Him, He will be there to help us through. Here's another problem some sheep face. Not all sheep are lean. Some sheep end up becoming too fat. How does that happen? That's a consequence of the good life and the good pasture fields that the good shepherd provides. You see, some sheep simply overeat. They don't know how to control their appetite. Thus they become slower on their feet, less flexible, and so top-heavy that if they are cast down, they can't help themselves up. Spiritually speaking, fat is how some Christians could be described. In our country, we have the opportunity available to us of being fed the best of spiritual food. Is that true? As Christians, we expect the best. And so if one church doesn't meet our needs in that regard, we're often able to find another church that will do that. But here's the problem. We can eat and eat and eat this spiritual food. But with all our eating, what happens? We take it in, but we never give out. In the sense of sharing what we've learned with somebody else, whether it be a Christian or a non-Christian, it's not meant to be kept to yourself. It's meant to be shared. And it's meant to be applied. We can hear a message and feel even convicted about doing a certain thing. And we go home and forget all about what was in the message. It did us no good if we don't apply what we've learned in our walk with God. We become fat then, and we become complacent, and slowly we grow less able to deal with the hard work of living out the Christian life with all of its pitfalls that may come our way. You see, I've seen families wrecked because of just one crisis. Why? They never learned to put into practice the Christian discipline of how to properly use their tongue when speaking with one another. It created a whole heap of problems. Thus, chaos occurred. The firestorm they started within their own family then gets totally out of control. And if we do not put what we learn from Scripture into practice, it's going to turn into spiritual fat. We have knowledge, but knowledge is not enough. It has to be put into practice. That fat then becomes useless when the crunch time comes. It's not how well we are fed spiritually that will define us as a Christian. It's what we do with that spiritual feeding that you and I have received. But even though the Word of God is strong with warning on this very, very matter in different passages of Scripture, this psalm paints a picture of how wonderful our Good Shepherd is. Because even when we are cast down due to taking it in and taking it in but not giving out, He still seeks to help us in that dilemma. If we truly want His help, He will pick us up. He will get us back on our feet and then work out our spiritual muscles so that we might start learning to put into practice what we learned and should have applied in the past. The third reason a sheep might become cast down and become too top heavy, because it has too much wool. You think that sheep has too much wool? Looks to me like he does. Now, we tend to think of wool as light and fluffy and warm. But friends, that's only the case after it has been washed and processed through modern machinery. On the back of sheep, however, wool can collect all kinds of stuff. And if you've ever been out in a sheep, seen sheep out in the pasture, you see this happens. They get burrs. There's debris. There's manure. There's mud cake into the fleece. And then when rain comes along, this mess on the back of the sheep can become so heavy that if the sheep lies down and becomes cast down, it'll be unable to right itself because of the weight that is collected in its wool. Of course, a good shepherd, seeing that the fleece is too heavy for the well-being of the sheep, of course, will be involved in shearing the sheep, removing all that accumulation so that the sheep will be more able to right themselves if they ever do get into the condition of being cast down. We, like sheep, struggle with the same dynamics. As we go through life, it seems that junk at times clings to us, right? Attaches itself to us. Things that maybe shouldn't be there, but they have accumulated over the years. And if it becomes too important to us, it can start weighing us down to the point that if we fall, we're in a helpless condition. Jesus, in the parable of the sower, remember what he said? He calls this what? The cares of the world. That can weigh us down, can't it? The cares of the world, which have the power to really upset us in the Christian life. But the comfort of this psalm is that we have a good shepherd, so good that when he sees we have this condition, he will seek to restore us. If we're willing to surrender to his will, you see, he will then do the hard work of shearing us. And maybe don't like the shearing, but that's sometimes necessary. Removing from us all those things which make us too top heavy. The fourth and final reason that a sheep may become cast down is because it is a pregnant ewe and heavy with its young. Phil Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he tends to put a great emphasis on this dynamic more than any of the other reasons for sheep being cast down. And so a good shepherd will have a sharp eye for the sheep that are pregnant. At times we too can be like those sheep. I'm sure we've all noticed those strong, healthy Christians who are bearing fruit for the kingdom of God. Sometimes they get themselves in so deep, they become cast down. They become too busy. Ever experienced that in your life? Become too busy? Individuals who are deeply involved in the lives of others don't seem to put limits on their involvement, and if they go on and on like this, you know what happens? They discover one morning they become cast down, and they don't seem to be able to help themselves up. What happens is this: their energy is gone. Their passion for God begins to wane. Their faith, in some cases, may come to the place of being in shreds. Their emotions are haywire. Their desire to be with God's people even begins to disappear, so they begin missing church. Their devotions run amok. God then begins to seem so far away. We sometimes call that burnout. Whatever you call it, they are cast down sheep. The wonderful comfort of this psalm is that the good shepherd has his eye on their well-being. He desires that they be restored. Here's where I find this psalm of such incredible comfort. You see, so many times when we fall like that, as a Christian. Maybe we've been a Christian for a long period of time and we become cast down. We look at ourselves and we wonder, has God given up on me? I failed. I failed so miserably. I failed so many times. And we may even fear the shepherd's wrath. But listen, that's not the kind of picture the Scripture paints for us. I want you to listen. Listen closely to Luke 15, verses 4 through 7. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Thus he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there is be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. You notice here that the work of restoration is the work of the shepherd, isn't it? However, we must permit him to do his work. He will not force it upon us. But the good news is that the shepherd is more than capable of returning us to where we once were. You see, failure need not be the end. If you failed, don't give up. Turn to the shepherd. You can start over by allowing the good shepherd to restore you when you have been cast down. God's antidote for your wandering is that he will invite you to follow the good shepherd. It's up to you to accept the invitation. How does one do that? Well, here's several ways. Trust wholeheartedly in the leadership of the shepherd. Now, partially, wholeheartedly. I think if we're honest, which most of us would really like from God is for him to give us a complete roadmap of our life that he has planned out for us. We'd like to know in full detail. And then we could look at the roadmap and decide, well, if that's the journey we really want to make. But that's not the way God works. Instead, he just gives us the next direction that we need to remain on the right path. And unlike the map apps on our phones, there's no way for us to look ahead and see the next steps we need to take down the road in order to get to the destination where God wants to take us. That's why the writer of Proverbs penned these familiar words. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you may have memorized them. And do not lean on your own understanding. You can say it with me. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths, make your paths straight. Sheep cannot come up with their own migration path. Why? Because they have no sense of direction. So if they want to remain alive and prosper, they have to commit themselves 100% to following the shepherd on the path that he has chosen for them. Sheep never know ahead of time where the shepherd is going to lead them. But they soon learn to trust that their shepherd knows what is best for them, even when they may not even make sense to them. Sometimes it doesn't make sense the way the Lord is leading. You have to admit it. You think he's taking down this path. Why did he do that? He has a reason. So the first step for us in accepting that invitation is to trust 100% in the Lord's leadership, even when it may not make sense, and even when it may not be very pleasant for us. Number two, obey the parts of God's will you already know. In other words, walk in his will. The fact is that the great majority of God's will, you see, has already been laid out in his word. It has. First, there are a number of things in Scripture that are specifically identified as being God's will. Let me list just several of them. It's God's will for you to be saved. If you have not committed your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the first step, because that's the step to get into becoming part of God's sheepfold. You need to accept Christ as your Savior. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says this, "This is good and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires what? That all people be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." Not only that do you find in Scripture, but it's God's will for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you realize that? That second work of grace. In Ephesians 5, 17 and 18, "Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. But be filled with Spirit." Here's one you may not like too much, but it's one we need to mention. It is God's will that you suffer sometimes for doing good. It's going to happen for doing good. 1 Peter 4, 19, "Therefore let those who suffer according to God's will and trust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." In addition to these verses that specifically identify these things that are God's will, the Bible contains a number of commands which also express God's will for our lives. You see, we don't have to guess whether or not murder or adultery or stealing or gossip or lying or honoring our parents or honoring and obeying government authorities are God's will. This is very clearly spelled out in Scripture, isn't it? When we choose to stray from such teaching, we shouldn't expect the Good Shepherd is going to restore us to the right path or take us further down that path until we first return to be obedient to what we already know. That's why the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart." Have you ever been using your GPS or your map apps and missed a turn you were supposed to make? I have. We have done that different times. And when that happens, the app can sometimes send you on an alternate route. But much of the time, the only way to get back on track is to do what? To make a U-turn. And get back to the place where you were originally supposed to make that turn in the first place. It seems like God works a lot like that in our lives too, doesn't he? When we get off track, God occasionally takes us down another path to get us to where he wants us to be. But you know something? Far more often, he leads us to make a spiritual U-turn that we call repentance. And before God will give us that next direction, he lets us pause for a while in order to get us back to the place of obedience to the parts of his will that we already know about and that he's revealed to us as we journey this pilgrim journey of life. And lastly, delight in the shepherd. There are sheep that delight so much in the shepherd that they constantly stay at the shepherd's side. Because they want to continually be in his presence, they follow wherever he goes. And because the shepherd is consistently on the right paths, the sheep who are following him also stay on the right paths. Same thing is true with us. See, the more we delight in Jesus, the more we will stay close to him, the more we will follow him, and the result is that we won't be apt to wander off the path as often. And when we do wander off the path occasionally, you know something, we just can't wait to get back on and have that intimate fellowship with him as we walk this journey of life. In another one of his psalms, David wrote these words about delighting in God. Psalm 37, 4. "Delight yourself in the Lord," and what does it say? "And he will give you the desires of your heart." Isn't that wonderful? Unfortunately, this verse has been taken out of context and used to teach the idea that if you delight in God, he'll give you anything you want. But if you read the entire psalm, David's focus was not at all on manipulating God in some way to get what he or she wanted. Instead, it is a psalm about finding great joy, finding great delight in committing his life to God, trusting that God will act in his best interest in a way that would be consistent with God's purposes, plans and ways for us. So the sense of this verse is this: if I delight in the Lord, He will give me desires that are consistent with His will for my life. So I encourage you to love God with all your heart. But if you do wander, don't throw in the towel and say, what's the use? Remember, the Good Shepherd wants to see you restored. That's a work that He delights in doing in each one of our lives. But He won't do that work without our cooperation. So why not let Him have His way with you? Because as the songwriter has written, and we're going to sing now, His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul. And you will see 'twas best to have Him have His way with you. Let's sing that hymn in closing.
Thank you. And would you stand with me as we sing our closing?
Yeah, slow.
It's okay.